And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
I was going to say, you guys can chat all you want. I got 60 minutes.
All right.
I ain't trying to be rude or nothing, but yeah, I'm on my last two courses for my degree, and they're killing me.
Breaking his balls.
Fucking A, man. I counted up. I have to write a combined 50 pages between now and May 1st.
That's Jeez. Insane.
Yes, that's why I'm cranky.
I'm ready.
All right. Oh, so I should be ready to reply too, huh?
I guess so, if you feel like it. Pappy, are you ready to go?
No, but let's do it. Let's do it live.
Oh, what's up, everyone? This is Joe.
And I'm Pappy.
This is the SML Podcast, Joe. And special guest with us today who is about to introduce himself, but we have our process. We have due process that's got to go on. So I'm just going to draw this out even longer so that he feels more awkward that he tried to talk. And instead, I'm just going to ramble on more and more. But hey, Pappy, how you doing today?
I stopped listening two words into your screed.
Yeah, I know. So, yeah, we have a special guest today. Guest, would you like to now introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Josh Barron. I'm a arranger and composer. I've worked with the Materia Collective mainly for the past couple years, and then I also just released my album.
Tell us about this said album that you just released.
It's the Ethereal String Project. It came about by merely chance, actually, kind of like a Star Wars movie. I was looking for a musician, and I came across this guy named Andrew Steffen who did a lot of different YouTube videos, and he wanted to find an arranger that would create music for his experiment, which is to take him and his other friend, who's also named Andrew, they played all the parts of this symphonic orchestra to try to create a real sound with just using two musicians.
So, oh, wow.
And you say a real sound as in, you know, like a depth of sound, not like a real noise, right?
Well, yeah, it's got like, I mean, they probably put, I'd probably say the orchestra, the string orchestra is a good size. For every part, we use a different violin, a different cello, a different viola. So nothing really sounds fake.
Okay, so what you're basically saying is each song on this track is just done by like three people?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's playing 47 different instruments.
And I will attest. Yeah, I thought you had put together like, oh, hey, I got this really awesome orchestra that wanted to play, you know, game of music. So we just hit the recording studio for a couple of days. No, instead, you're actually insane is what you said. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, insanity is good. We like insanity.
That's where the ethereal actually came in, because we were wanting to try to see if we could fool people at first to see if people just thought, oh, this is an orchestra playing together. And
My phone. Yeah.
You're two for two in the last week.
I know. I keep forgetting this. I'm like too focused on other stuff. But
well, put your pants back on and pay attention.
It was Jacob thanking me for sending him a UV code for the Hateful Eight.
So how many people did you fool aside from me?
Fooled quite a few people. I was just on with Emily Reese the other day, and she actually was really shocked that it was just two guys primarily playing all the instruments. So so we definitely did a really good job of creating that sound.
Now, did you play any of the instruments, or are you just the mastermind behind everything?
I'm just the guy who writes the notes on the page.
Okay. Well, that's kind of important, you know.
Yeah.
How do I note? Oh, here you go. Thank you.
And actually, when I first entered this project, I really had next to no knowledge about orchestrating for strings. I primarily did like, you know, I did bigger things like full orchestra, since I'm really good at wind instruments, but
not the better ones. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, but you know, my string guy is going to kill me for saying that. That
No, I'm 100% biased. I played saxophone for 10 years. So
I play trumpet, so I just have no way to record it, or else I would have probably played on the album. But yeah, we basically.
Yeah, it sounds like a typical trumpet. And we're going to have this really awesome, relaxing, soothing sound from strings. And then just, you know, Miles Davis comes in out of nowhere. Let's jazz this bitch up. that's honestly like the perfect trumpet comment right there. You know.
Then I'll probably get stabbed by a cello bow.
I took your track. I thought it was good, but it just needed a little more hot jazz.
I know, right? You should actually catch my one of my pieces for Materia Collective's Final Fantasy VIII album. I actually did do a Miles Davis kind of trumpet thing for that. So
I'm just jealous, honestly, of the brass instruments. So my brother played trombone. So you guys got the little cool. It's been so long, I forget what they're called, but the little covers you can put over your...
The mutes.
Yeah, the mutes, and then you get to play around with that and give it another dimension to the sound. I'm just jealous, you know. The Baron Stax, it was just enough to carry the fucking thing.
To me, those mutes, they were always just like half of a toilet plunger to me.
Yeah, yeah. We actually, there's one called a plunger mute. So...
Just don't move it too fast. You'll pull your lips right through the fucking thing.
You got it from a homeless man in a back alley. You don't know how used it is, but you have a feeling it is.
Well, yeah, it's. I actually have seen people use real plungers because they were in a pinch. I just always thought to myself, you know, I hope they washed the thing before they put it before they used it. But,
that trumpet solo was pretty shitty.
That is actually really, really cool. You know, the fact that just two of you guys, or two people, you know, play most of the instruments, and then, you know, you did the composition of it. Because, yeah, there was a lot of depth of sound on these tracks.
I would never have guessed that it was just two people doing all of it.
I also really want to just thank you guys right off the bat for not doing the same standard staid 80s and 90s games.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Halo 2 on there, you got Mirror's Edge, Mass Effect 3. I was like, holy shit.
Skyrim.
Yeah, it's thank you for not just being like, here's the 47th rearrangement, reinterpretation of Secret of Mana.
Or One Winged Angel.
Oh God, One Winged Angel! It always comes back to One Winged Angel.
It does. I've heard it in a ton of different things, but I actually thought the other day I was sitting here just toying around at my computer, and I think I want to do a tango version of One Winged Angel. Just get that tango accordion and, you know, the the guitar, and then someone clapping somewhere in the, you know, just Spanish it up.
I want a bluegrass version of it.
Oh, there you go.
Oh God.
Bang, 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 ding, 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 ding. On a banjo.
It could work.
Oh my God. Now I want to hear this. All right. Musicians out there, somebody make a bluegrass version of One Winged Angel. We'll play it on the show. That our new intro theme for the show. We've had Stemmage for a while. It's time for something new.
Me and some of the people from the Materia Collective, we joked around and said, how about we just do an album of every track as One Winged Angel? Just different styles of it, and get it out of our system.
Yeah, the Bad Dudes did something similar with the Dalsim.
Sagat's theme.
Or Sagat's theme, I'm sorry.
Thai guy.
Mm-hmm. They did, what, 10 different arranged versions?
Something like that.
Wow. Yeah, ridiculous.
I think I again, had
yeah,
it
they
somewhere.
Had, they literally had to get it out of their system. It was like an inside joke or something for a while. And they're like, no, we have to do this now.
Here it is, Tie Guy. There are 10 tracks, yeah. The One-Ups, Joshua Morse, Tim Sheehy, Mustin, Dale North, Kunal, Maze Dude, Zyko, Another Maze Dude, and Dishu. Yeah. Just all doing Sagat's theme.
I worked with Mustin on an album when I was in high school, I think.
Oh, really?
Back in 2005, he was my first actual gig that I arranged one piece on his it was the Xenogears arranged album when
which I have that. I don't know. Too far away, I can't see.
It's called Xenogears Light, I think.
But yeah, I have that on CD somewhere.
Yeah, I was track 3.
Shit.
That's fantastic. I'm going to have to find
that.
And
now things come together, because I was actually going to say with that One Winged Angel, I never played the game, so I had never heard the song until I went down to one of Mustin's barbecues, 10 years ago? And when they played at that arcade, and they actually had their one-time-only version of that, and it had they got singers and chimes.
That was Dancing Mad, not One Winged Angel.
Dancing Mad? Oh, see, I don't even know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Well, never mind.
See, Pappy's drunk.
Everything. I don't drink.
Yet you're still drunk somehow.
I'm sober.
You are soberly drunk.
All. I'm confused.
Man, I gotta find Xenogears Light now so I could grab that song. I'm gonna have
it's
to
very,
like.
Yeah. If I had to redo it, I'd do it completely different than I would, now. But considering it wasn't even, I don't even think it was a real piano. I think it was a sample that Mustin had. It still sounds really, really nice, the sample.
Yeah, that's pretty cool that you were on Xenogears Light all these years later, and now we're talking to you.
Yeah. It's like things have come full circle now. Now I can't do any better. No, I'm just kidding. I've topped out.
Did you follow the 1UP community much over the years?
I was there during the album, and I actually haven't been able to do anything since with them. I really wished I could collaborate with them more, because that would just be really awesome. But yeah, I haven't followed it. There was a few years where I kind of went out of music, and then now I'm with this album that I had, I arranged these pieces over a course of amount of time. So it's just me basically taking everything I'd done on my own and then just kind of bringing it to reality.
That's cool. Yeah, no, I don't have Xenogears Light, but I do have that Square Dance album.
Oh yeah,
I've never listened to again because it put me to sleep.
Really?
Yeah. Oh God, no! I listened to it twice because you got to give everything 2 tries. But I was like, nope, this is I legit find this boring.
Wow, I love Square
Dance.
So
if anybody wants to give me $100 for it, I'll straight up sell it to you. I think that's what it was going for on eBay a couple years ago. It was a little ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah.
Those old albums are super, super long, out of print and hard to find. I know the
and they've got just a big enough fan base that people will pay for it.
That mm-hmm. Project Majestic Mix, the gold edition, that used to get a decent amount of money.
I remember that a long time ago.
Back in our day when we first started in the video game music scene.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Project Majestic, that came out right at the first MAGFest too, because I was there and I picked that up at the first MAGFest, and I had everyone who was there sign my copy of Project Majestic Mix Gold.
Dang.
Square Dance, and it was fun. Good times. That's some old, man, that's a long ass time ago. Holy shit. I'm getting
it was
so old. Oh man.
Yeah, I try not to remind myself that, when Joe and I first went to Arkansas 11 years ago, fuck.
I'm old and dying now. It's crazy to think back at how long that we've been following the 1UPs and 1UP Studios and Mustin and all that other stuff. It's pretty cool.
And he's still kicking, doing stuff. And I actually just it was actually kind of funny because that track I just told you guys about earlier on Materia Collective's album Successor, I actually worked with Dale North for that track. So he, I did most of the arrangement, but like he kicked out like this really awesome bass line, and we did it in like probably a half hour before the deadline. We kind of procrastinated a little bit, you know, how musicians do.
Oh yeah. So especially when you're in your 20s.
Yeah. but it's like, I was like having this massive headache, and like, and he was like freaking out, and we were just like, okay, let's just get this knocked out. And then, he did a really cool bass line, and it just kind of worked. So, and it actually made the piece. Like for some reason that one part just made it.
Yeah. We got to get Dale back on this show. It's been too long.
He's a busy man.
if only we had a way to, like, you know, offer him food, then he'd be on an
heartbeat. Oh God, Dale, come on our show. We're gonna have corgis on.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, corgis and the finest whatever fucking restaurant you want to go to right now. He was tweeting today that he went and tried Taco Bell recommendations for shits and giggles.
Really?
Yeah, it was pretty damn funny.
Oh my God.
He waited like months to get into this Japanese restaurant, I believe.
I believe it.
I know he posted something on Facebook about that.
Well, it's because he knows like he's there now and can actually wait for it. So
yeah.
You know, I always worry like, well, I don't want to have it go too long because I'm still in the military, so it's like, well, I could get deployed or something could happen and I'd have to cancel. So
mm-hmm.
All the really nice places are quite beyond me right now.
Yeah, I think the nicest I've been to a few nice restaurants in like Indianapolis and stuff, which, you know, if you want to ever like go have a really good steak, go to St. Elmo's. I mean, Peyton Manning actually ate there, so I think he still does. I think he makes like special trips out to Indiana just to eat at that restaurant.
Damn, that's a haul.
So yeah, it is.
I'm gonna have to tell my little sister to listen to this episode because she hates Peyton Manning so much.
Oh really?
Yeah, she lives in Knoxville.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that all of Tennessee has the biggest raging boner for Peyton Manning just drives her insane, because everywhere she goes, it's Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning. And just I was over the past football season when I would like talk to my dad, because he and I are both Steelers fans. And we were talking, and the Steelers lost the game. And I'm like, it's okay. At least we could watch the Broncos make it. Maybe Peyton Manning could go out on a win. My sister's in the background. I hate Peyton Manning. You can't make fun of me anymore if you like Peyton Manning. I'm like, oh, I can make fun of you. It's just up to you whether or not you want to take it. I mean, you will, because I'm doing it. But yeah, she hates Peyton Manning. And it's the funniest thing in the world to me. Because I'm a big brother. I got to pick on her.
He's still a big deal here, even though he left.
Yeah, no. Aren't they going to retire his number now or something?
Yeah.
He's the first quarterback to win the Super Bowl with two different teams. So screw it. Let's retire his number on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't he already have like a press conference out there where he's like, I'll always be a Colt?
Yeah, he did.
Is that how he sounds?
Pretty much.
That sounded almost like Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I'm
an eagle.
that's brain damage right there.
Yeah, so it's Stallone.
Yeah, what a Dale actually took people's recommendations at Taco Bell. Crunchwrap Supreme is supremely disappointing. It's a frisbee of filler and iceberg lettuce. Quesalupa, not bad. And then got the cheesy gordita crunch on recommendation, literally threw away that crunch wrap atrocity.
Oh God. Go figure that. I like just finished up the Baja Blast that I got from Taco Bell earlier today.
Yeah, but you don't like Taco Bell either.
I don't. I hate Taco Bell. And I
just go there for a drink.
Well, I went there. Ashley wanted tacos, so we went there, and I was going to grab those, like the potato wrap that they have, but I didn't even see them anymore. I don't know if they got rid of them.
I think they're breakfast only.
Well, yeah, no, these were like the big wraps that they had for the happy hour thing, whatever they did.
And, oh, yeah, they got rid of that. Oh, no. You're talking about the little dollar ones?
No.
The potato grillers.
Yeah, the potato griller.
The loaded grillers are still being sold, but they're like this tiny little. You need a fucking magnifying glass to find them on the menu.
Yeah, I didn't see it on the menu, so I just tried getting a chicken and cheese quesadilla, which first off, that thing was flatter than like a 4-year-old girl. I've never seen so little meat in something.
I'm just. You couldn't have gone flatter than a pancake.
I couldn't help it.
You couldn't have gone flatter than maybe the book that lists all the good ideas that our federal government has made.
flatter than your ass.
Yeah, I'm very white. I have no ass. That's a very flat case.
You honky. And I would have liked it, except for the fact that they have to put their goddamn taco seasoning sauce on everything. Like, just let me eat chicken and cheese.
That wasn't the seasoning sauce. That was literally the cheese, Joe.
No, it was that fucking taco sauce, because their breakfast wraps have that shit, too. It's like, I just want to get a breakfast. You don't need to taco up everything.
It's Taco Bell.
Like, let me just enjoy this food without your shitty taco. Because then
without that taco sauce, it might taste like authentic Mexican cuisine. All right.
There you go.
But I got my Baja Blast, so I was happy.
I don't know if you guys had seen this. When Stephen Colbert had his show on Comedy Central, he made fun of Taco Bell. As apparently when they switched to 100% all beef. And they had silicone dioxide, which is obviously sand, as a filler in there. And he made a joke about, like, it's like a vacation away from meat.
That's about right.
It is.
Pretty much.
So, by the way, where are you out of anyway, Josh?
I live in a basically out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, anybody could set fire to the town and probably no one would miss it. I'm just kidding. It's called Logansport, Indiana. So we're about around Lafayette, about an hour and 45 minutes from Indianapolis.
So you're gonna have that the opposite of most of the people we talk to. Like, you're actually chilling out in a nice, very very rural area,
Mayberry.
Instead of downtown LA or Philly or New York.
Okay. We have quite a few meth labs, but I mean, you know, whenever I hear
Pennsylvania is nothing but meth anymore.
Yeah, I think Peru's like number one in Indiana, and I'm like, seriously, Gary didn't beat them?
Like, well, it's because there was too much fighting in Gary. They couldn't.
Oh yeah, yeah, they didn't have enough time.
So I do back on the topic of the album. I do have a question of. Did you arrange everything, or did you guys like talk beforehand, like, hey, these are the songs or these are the games we want to cover?
I handled all the track list and all the arrangements. So they strictly did like the performing side.
So that's awesome. You pretty much went, all right, awesome. You guys want my shit, here you go, but you're going to do it my way.
Well, no, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, since I didn't know as much about strings, Andrew had, like, taught me a lot of different techniques and like, stuff that wouldn't work. He'd tell me, okay, maybe try this. But he was very much – he's a teacher at heart. So, like, he actually has an orchestra that he – teaches.
Nice.
He teaches 14-year-olds how to play orchestra music. And so, like, so basically he kind of let me, after a while of teaching me the basics and all of that, then he kind of would say, okay, now what do you think is wrong with this? And after about 2 hours, I figure it out. No, I'm just kidding. But like, we'd basically talk back and forth, but really the arrangements are definitely mine. Like,
well, that's actually really cool. So you guys kind of had that symbiotic relationship going on where you got to learn some stuff from him and he got to do what you said they wanted was to actually play arranged music and fool people into thinking they were a full orchestra.
Oh yeah, and I definitely couldn't have done it without either of them. And the three pianists that we chose for the album are all over the world. I mean, We've got a guy, Ramon von Englenhoven. He played
that is a
stuff
name.
On...
That is a name. Name.
It is. It he's. It took me a couple times, but
yeah.
But, give it
but
to
he's,
us again.
He's really
Ramon von Englenhoven.
Yeah, yes. Ramon von Englenhoven.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, and then Kevin Wan.
Yeah, Kevin Wan. Yeah. Yeah, he played a lot of the piano. He played in my Skyrim pieces and Mass Effect and.
Yeah, you got him in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ramon in one.
Ramon von Englenhoven is on one, and then I got
Hey, the pianist.
Yeah.
Was he a 12-inch pianist?
I don't know.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yeah, hey, I had to get that joke in there. I mean, how often do we ever talk about piano on this show?
I'm very impressed. No one snickered when I said pianists. Like,
yeah, three pianists. Sounds like dick.
That's two less than Joe's used to.
Yeah.
But
no, I mean, like I said, I really dug it, and I really do. Like I said, I was so happy to see the track list and see Halo and Mass Effect on there.
Yeah, we definitely I definitely wanted to approach it with, like, you know, have you guys actually, like, heard the Final Symphony and then, like, Symphonic Fantasies and all of that that got released?
No.
I've heard a lot of the symphonic stuff. I couldn't tell you who or which or what. I know I've been gifted a lot of game music over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've got Final Fantasy VI piano collection. I've got just random stuff all over.
Final Symphony's basically like the very first symphonic interpretation that's actually played by the London Symphony Orchestra. So, when I looked at, they have like a 20-minute suite of Final Fantasy VI, like a 3-movement Final Fantasy VII work, and then I think they have 3-movement for Final Fantasy X on there. So, yeah, it was like really massive. It's probably the best arranged album I've ever heard, and so like when I set out to do this CD, I was inspired by all that they did, and they took a very artistic approach. It's like, screw what everybody else did, you know, we're gonna do what we like to do. And so I just picked tracks that I liked and knew that nobody else did, and was banking on the idea that people would appreciate that, and that it wasn't just like the same old stuff like you mentioned.
I was going to ask, what led to you selecting the songs that you picked for this project?
Actually, it was just like I had 3 pieces that I already done before that I always wanted to perform. So the rest of them was kind of like basically games that I had played around that time. So basically it's really broken down by composer. Like I really like the music of Kingdom Hearts, so I had to have a piece from that composer. There really isn't any old school Final Fantasy, no Uematsu on there. But I do like Masashi Hamauzu for Final Fantasy 13 and Hitoshi Sakimoto with Final Fantasy 12. I think that's like such an underrated score.
I think the oldest song you've got on here is from Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like a really cool score that I just think just has balls. Like the score just has like brass and drums and just swashbuckling string parts. It's like it's basically like Treasure Island. It's very adventurous. But yeah, I mean, the selection was definitely very easy to me to do. It was just harder to like get down to like that set amount of tracks. I think my original draft had like 18 tracks.
Wow.
So I had to boil it down to just a select few. But
are there any outtakes that didn't make the album that you started on?
They'll be on an EP that I'm going to release. It's going to have more than just strings though. after Final Fantasy VIII, I had like flute and clarinet and oboe and all sorts of other stuff on there. So I'm going to actually do some pieces for that.
Well, Mustin bought my alto, so if you need an alto sax,
there you go.
You know who to go hit up.
It's definitely like I also wanted to do like some Matoi Sakuraba, so I kind of wanted to do a piece from Star Ocean 2.
Nice.
And so, you know, I'm actually really enjoying this what I think of as like kind of this current renaissance of game music, because when Joe first introduced me to it, it was a lot of chiptune, a lot of like metal and rock and stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. But lately, you know, like this Super Guitar Brothers, well, I guess you're Bred Raptors, but they don't exactly do game remix stuff. But all of a sudden, we're getting a whole lot more unplugged, you know, guitars, string, stuff like that, which I'm kind of enjoying.
Triforce Quartet.
Yeah, and Super Soul Brothers, right?
I think so.
Super Guitar, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, you know, the fucking Altered Beast. There we go.
Yeah, the Altered Beast album was fantastic.
Yeah, so, and that's it, but that's because I really prefer, I'll be honest, I've always preferred instruments over computer sound. So I can only take so much chiptune stuff. I can only take so much electronica. But then, oh, shit, an entire symphony? Even if you're lying to me and it's actually two guys playing way too many instruments? It's. I really like that this is being embraced a lot more lately, you know, and even encouraged.
Yeah, it's definitely more like with technology and how we can emulate that. And Andrew's always doing like a lot of really cool. He's always trying to find a way to make his technique that much better. So, and he's just like, he puts in so many hours. In fact, he makes as much as me on the CD just because I told him, I was like, as many parts as you're recording, you are like, you deserve as much as me. So,
well, and see, and that's also really smart because now you only have to pay a couple of people instead of an entire orchestra.
Yeah, true.
Exactly. Well, I mean, if I wasn't like, needing to fund these more projects, I'd probably pay him more than me, but you know, it's like we all got to eat and
yeah, and it too, sounds so. Like you guys really worked together and you know, figured out exactly, you know, how everything was going to go.
Oh, I make sure to tell him how great he is all the time.
he's going to get an ego from that. I told Pappy that he had a good review on our show once, and now he doesn't shut up about it.
He keeps telling me to come back on the show.
Hey, we always gotta like embrace the positive, so but it's definitely been like a really good album. I mean, our next album's gonna be just Mitsuda stuff, so we're gonna have Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross, Xenogears, Xenosaga, I'm even gonna do Shadow Hearts and all sorts of stuff from Mitsuda's career. So
Shadow Hearts, really, there's a game that doesn't get much love.
Yeah, it's gonna be on the it's actually gonna be on my next album coming this summer, which is The Travelers. It's gonna be it's gonna be all acoustic, kind of like the unplugged stuff that you were talking about. We're going into folk music. So
nice.
Oh,
cool.
And it's all European, so like I mean just on my tracks, I've done six so far, but I have Celtic, I have Welsh, I have Norse.
Okay. Are you guys going to try and sing an actual Welsh? Because that would be fantastic.
It's mainly, I think it's going to be more like more Enya, Lord of the Rings Welsh kind of sound.
I just like hearing Americans try and pronounce Welsh. My grandmother's Welsh, so she'll write down something for me once in a while and be like, okay, now say this. And I'll be like, oh, it's, you know, and she's like, no, it's, you know, Hagen Fluven Nugenbugen. And she's like, how the fuck, like, why does a W sound like an A? And why are there so many fucking Y's in there? And it's great.
I'm just giggling over you, like, regurgitating whatever you did for that noise.
It's fantastic because I swear to God, the Welsh language just said fuck vowels.
Yeah,
it's like W's will stand in for all vowels, and they just called it a day.
it's definitely like we actually do have real Norse that'll go into the track. So That'll actually be just a bunch of guys. And I actually told them, I was like, really, I'd like you guys to just drink some liquor beforehand. we can really simulate some drunken Vikings just singing this song. So
it's all about authenticity.
We definitely are. We're actually gonna have foot stomps, clanking mugs, you know, all sorts of stuff in the song. So each piece is supposed to sound like every member of the band is a traveling group from pub to pub, and so like that's why I call it the Travelers. We're definitely it's definitely very rustic and organic and earthy, is what I could use to describe it. It's definitely unlike anything that I've seen out there. So and I brought people from the Materia Collective. I brought Andrew back, but he's playing one instrument this time, one or two instruments. But we have like a lot of really cool arrangers and performers for this CD.
That's pretty awesome. And you actually gave us two songs that we can play from that project, correct?
Yes.
Would you like to tell us about those?
Yeah, I basically gave you guys two different types of sounds. One is the more contemplative, which is the Secret of Mana track. I chose Meridian Dance, which was actually a really, really fast-paced battle tune. And I thought to myself, you know, what would it sound like if I was talking about the battle, but in a tavern and more relaxed? And so I decided to use guitar and ocarina and Balrun and violin and cello. And we just kind of took these instruments and kind of created that earthy sound. And that was actually the very first song I did for this album. And I thought, you know, what better way to kind of turn a song on its head and completely change the context and the style and the tempo. And the second one is from Final Fantasy IX called Dissipating Sorrow, or Endless Sorrow, depending on your translation. And that one is definitely more it starts off, you know, kind of slow. And then the actual final version that we'll have more instruments than the one I gave you guys. This mix is actually very special to your show.
Ooh, exclusive.
So we kind of like we scrambled to get this one done last night. The guitarist, Jordan Chin, he actually improvised his solo parts within like less than 3 hours.
Wow.
And then my violinist actually did the same thing. So, and her name is Michaela Noctegal. So she's with the band Tetramo. So I've got a lot of really interesting artists that can just kind of whip up something and
damn show offs and their talent and their abilities.
They're very, very hard workers. I'm very honored. And then we have Andrew playing viola, and
it's just funny because I always think it's amazing. And some artists, in fact, are just better at it when you give them crunch time.
Yeah, it is. It works better for me. I work better under pressure. So
yeah,
I think Aol Sean only does songs on crunch time.
Yeah, tell his song for the Earthbound project.
Oh, for Bound Together. Have you heard Bound Together?
No, I haven't actually.
Oh, you should check that out. That's only 10 years old.
Old.
It is it's an Earthbound remix project that I did years upon years ago. And I got the idea while I was going to see the 1UPs down in Texas. And over the course of the summer, I just had all these friends of mine do all these remixes from Earthbound. And Ale Sean said that he was going to do the drugstore music. I was like, sounds good. Just let me know when you have something ready to go. And because I, unlike Overclocked Remix or anything, I never asked for works in progress. It was just do the song, get it to me when it's done. And with Ale Sean's song, when I was moving back home to Pennsylvania after the summer, I stopped at his place in Illinois to see him for his wedding. And I stayed with him and his wife for a few days, and he didn't start the song yet. And I was like, oh, well, I was hoping to get everything ready in a few days. He's like, oh, don't worry about it. I got it. I got home. I think it was the day before they were going to Ireland for their honeymoon. I was like, before you leave for your honeymoon, by chance, did you finish the song? He's like, no, I'm going to start it tonight.
Yeah, he got it to me overnight. And it's my favorite track on the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the drugstore sell sparks. So yeah, he did the song the morning he left to go on his honeymoon.
He was excited.
And he's done that for everything. People are like, oh, well, I didn't get a working project yet for Mailshot. It's like, don't worry, you're going to get the song the day before you need it.
Yeah.
Like, whenever the deadline is, that's when you'll get it. It'll be done. It'll be fantastic, but you're not getting it before then.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I am right now. I'm like in the middle of, like, I think this year I think I'm going on 10 projects.
Holy crud.
I think it might be 11, but a lot and more and almost all that I can't even talk about. So it's,
which ones can it's you talk about?
No, which ones can't you talk about? No.
yeah, exactly, right?
Don't worry, no one will hear this.
Well, obviously, like, the ongoing thing with Materia Collective, so I will be doing things for them I don't imagine myself stopping. So, but we did release one not too long ago about Ori and the Blind Forest, and that was a production.
Such a good game.
Yeah, Well, it was kind of funny because Sebastian, he runs Laudar, and it's funny because he's actually the one that actually came to me to nudge me to write that album, Ethereal String Project. So he's the reason why I'm actually doing so well. So, when he does these projects for Materia Collective, we usually have at least 3 months. So that's a decent amount of time. Well, with Ori, he was like, oh my gosh, the definitive edition's coming out like in 3 days. So any artist can do something in 3 days, we'll get an album together.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, and so it's probably like the best quality stuff you've ever heard. And I was like, yeah, crunch time.
Yeah, it was. The album's so consistent. And like I did, and I definitely didn't do it easy. I have I do have an Ori and the Blind Forest symphony that I'm working on. It's a slow project, but I imagine it to be like about 40 to 50 minutes long.
Oh, nice. You need to email me a link to this Ori and the Blind Forest album, because that is one of the best game soundtracks in recent memory in my eyes. It is just such an amazing soundtrack, an amazing game. Ugh, I love Ori so much.
You're talking about, like, not taking the easy route, that's also an artistic thing, isn't it? Like, oh, I've got 6 months. Let me just perfect this one guitar line. Oh, I've got 2 days. Let me do 47 fucking different tracks.
Yeah, it's – I mean, like, I already had, like, the first 4 minutes done, four-ish minutes of it done. And basically how I write, I always tell a musical narrative with every single piece that I write. So I'll combine multiple things, and I'm pretty sure you guys might have caught on to that in my different pieces on the Ethereal String Project. And so, like, with Ori and the Blind Forest, I did a piece that I took the first 4 minutes, which is basically the intro of the game. And so I use themes like I use Ori's theme, I use the main theme, I use Naru's theme, and I even used the theme towards the end of the game called The Sacrifice and threw it in this because I felt like it suited the scene better. And then I took what I had for full orchestra and then condensed that down to string quartet and piano. So, and damn, it actually turned out really decent. Yeah, we were like, and let me tell you, I almost got sick over the whole 3 days because about almost, like, I think 12 hours before deadline time, I lost my violinist. So,
oh, shit.
I had four people lined up to take the backup. None of them could do it. And then I ended up getting I ended up getting Chad Schwartz, one of the lead violinists from the Triforce Quartet. There's so many thoughts going through my head. I'm failing to come up with a name.
I'm old. I don't remember names anymore. So,
but anyway, he was going to play the violin part, and he did like a ton of takes, and he's like, okay, I need you to take this thing from this take and put it in this take, and it'll be perfect. It's like, well, I'm not a mixer, so I didn't even know where to start. So I was like pulling my hair out over that and saying quite a few. I was cussing up a storm in here. My roommates were looking at me like I had just gone crazy. And so then I was like, okay, well, my friend Andrew had pulled me out again, and he's like, I'll record the violin for you. And he's like, just take this down an octave, simplify this part. So then I came up with it, and we made it work somehow. So
damn,
but when it was done, it was like, I felt like a mom that had just came out of labor after 3 days. And it's just like, oh man, I'm just in cold sweat and it feels great. So, but it was definitely a learning process, but I hope you guys probably hear.
There's fire.
No, it's just the meth lab burning up.
Yay!
One less. Yay!
But it was definitely a fun project, and the rest of the stuff. I mean, you have like atmospheric jazz, and you have some light electronic elements. It's not just orchestra. There's a good blend. There's even like a metal version of like the piece of music that plays when you're going up the Ginsu tree from the water.
Oh God.
Yeah. They do a metal version of that.
I need to hear that. I'm a metal guy myself. Like I like normally at the end of our shows, like we play a lot of heavier songs or upbeat songs. So the end of this show is going to be a very unique set of music that our listeners might not be used to. It's all fantastic, but it's definitely not what our listeners are used to.
Hey, listeners, we're giving you some culture that Joe's usually not used to distributing. So,
but I would absolutely love to hear that metal version of the tree escape, because
oh yeah, it's on. You can find it on Louder, and then you can find it on iTunes and Spotify. So and I think Google Play as well. So,
by the way, it's pretty fuck those escape sequences in Ori. Those
yeah, I know, right?
Escape sequences are a bitch.
I hated the last one where you like get eaten up, and I don't know if we can do spoilers on here.
Oh yeah,
the game's a year old. If you haven't played Ori yet, fucking play it. What are you waiting for?
I haven't played it, and I have no intention. Spoil away.
But it's like that part where the freaking bird Kuro like hunts you down, and if you like are out of there for like 3 seconds in the open, she kills you.
Yeah,
that's like holy crap! I was like cussing up a storm at that end. I almost threw my controller through my TV. So
that
but it was awful.
The worst part of that final escape for me was climbing the debris at the very end, because
I
got to that maybe a dozen times and I kept dying on the way up there. And I was about to quit, and I gave it one more try, and I got to the top, and it was the end of the game. And I'm like, motherfucker, I was so close. Uh-huh. All I needed was like 3 more jumps, and I would have been done an hour ago.
That long?
Maybe not that. Maybe a half hour.
Still, dude, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, those escape sequences are brutal.
It's an insanely hard. It's actually quite challenging. I haven't played the new levels yet. It was actually kind of cool. They give you that new version for $5 if you already own the original.
Yep.
So that's kind of cool. It's like, thank you for buying the base game. We're going to give you a discounted price on the new one. So
yeah, it's pretty awesome that they did that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful game. I mean, just the art and the story simple, but it's still really deep, and it's just a really smart game. It's probably like my best, probably in my top 5 of 2015, easily.
Oh yeah. So that's one of the games that PS4 owners are jealous of on the Xbox One.
Oh yeah,
because I've heard from a lot of PlayStation owners. They're like, "Man, I wish we had Ori on the PlayStation." It's like, well, you could get it on Xbox if you want it, or get it on PC. There's options.
Yeah,
only
PC's
a PlayStation.
Fine.
Oh well, you chose wrong, bitch.
or just play Child of Light.
Yeah, that was another amazing game.
Yeah, that was definitely like one of those that I didn't expect I'd like.
And this is why I'm not a gamer as defined by most of our guests, because I got bored as hell with that game.
Yeah.
I 100%ed like that game.
Yeah. One of my friends didn't like the combat.
Yeah, the combat was fine. I just got bored. Like, I'm not good with any kind of RPG element anymore, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, I just have such a short attention span and so little free time that I got to be able to murder, kill, move on.
Oh, so like Skyrim.
Yeah, which, you know, that's someone gave me shit today actually, because they're talking about how excited they are for the new Final Fantasy. I'm like, nah, I'm just not big into JRPGs. They take too long. He's like, how many hours do you have in Fallout? I'm like, 150. But that doesn't fucking matter. It's because I spent 3 hours building my perfect shanty town. I wasn't doing random combat.
Mm-hmm. Well, now with JRPGs, it's more like I'm just gonna buy the soundtrack. Like with Final Fantasy 15, I'm like, with Yoko Shimomura doing it, and it's like full orchestra and real instruments. It's like, man, I really wish Kingdom Hearts was like that. So it's gonna be like a dream come true for me that she finally gets to do an installment. So, as much as I like Uematsu, it's like it's been nice to see new people take the torch and see what they do with it.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose Final Fantasy.
As long as the music's good, I'm happy.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what sucks. Like Final Fantasy X-2 had really crappy gameplay and story, but it was very Charlie's Angels like. But it was like, but I kind of enjoyed the music, and I'll probably be like the one guy on the planet that does. But like most people didn't like it because it had like the funk and kind of like the jazz. And then there were a few tracks that were pretty annoying, but obviously I liked it enough to put Eternity as an arrangement on the album. So,
yeah,
which I love that song. You could probably have that chord progression alone just somehow never gets old. So.
I'm just sad that a game as terrible as Final Fantasy 13 got two songs on there.
So cranky.
Yeah.
The music's good. Yeah, I'll give you that. It's the game itself. I just
I don't even know what 13 was. I didn't even know there was a 13.
Final Fantasy 13 was the corridor simulator.
It was definitely like it was a dark story. I mean, it was like, hey, we're all destined to die.
Yay!
That's about how that game was.
It's just half the terms in that game are all just nonsense words that you need to play 50 hours to understand anything.
Joe, see, your knowledge is showing, because that's every Final Fantasy game.
No, this was a very special case. Like, if people who've played Final Fantasy 13 know how...
Oh, yeah. It's like, what the fuck's a Shinra?
It's a corporation. It's just, yeah. Final Fantasy 13, man. Just, yeah.
It's. I think that's just a culmination of all the years of getting more and more emo.
Yeah.
Final Fantasy 13 was the epitome of style over substance. It just as pretty as it could possibly be, but. When people tell you the game gets good after 30 hours, that's a problem.
Oh, yeah, okay. I didn't, you're talking about 13. I'm like, I don't even know what one that is. I did watch somebody beat that game, and it took him 45 minutes to explain the opening sequence to me.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
He's trying to tell me what's going on as he's playing, like, the final boss. And then I'm like, no, you got to go back to the beginning, man. He's like, oh, okay. So this person, that person, and I'm just like, nope.
Never mind, forget I said anything.
He would not be deterred. He tried, and like 30 minutes later, I'm like, I think I think I know the basics.
You know, if he didn't beat that ending boss after explaining all of that, then he wasn't very good at playing the game.
I think he paused it. Honestly, I think he paused it. But I did watch him finish the game, and then because this is when it just came out. So mm-hmm. he beat the game, and then, you know, that continuation shit. He's like, "What the fuck is this?"
Yeah, he had to pause the game to explain it so that he could pull out all the charts and the graphs and the glossary. Yeah. And.
But I do remember that he was legit upset with the way that game ended. Because, yeah. You know, the whole, part two coming next year.
The thing, I thought 13-2 was so much better because it was an actual Final Fantasy game for once. Like, you got to mm-hmm. go places and choose what you wanted to do instead of walk down a hallway for 40 mm-hmm. hours.
Yeah.
And then 13-3 kind of reminded me of Majora's Mask. It was kind of like, the world's going to end in this set amount of time. And except I don't think that game actually allowed, unlike Majora's Mask, where you could play the Song of Time and reverse it. I don't think they gave you a way out in 13.
No.
In 13-3.
No, it was basically, you fucked up. Time to start over because you can't do shit now.
Ooh,
yeah, I don't like games with time limits on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially RPGs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. Like, yeah, you can do an FPS or even that, you know, some of the little easier games, like, or worst case, your bullshit, like, escape level. You know, you have to get out of the facility in 2 minutes. Yeah, okay. But not an entire fucking RPG with a time limit. That's just stupid.
With the time limit, it's side like, quests, collectibles, missions, it just...
Yeah, so the first thing you do is you get it on PC and hack the timer out of there.
Yep. Yep. So that's one thing. It's kind of like playing a Grand Theft Auto 5 and then having a time limit. It's like, hey, there's going to be a nuke that detonates in Liberty City in X amount of days. Good luck finding all those car skins.
Jesus.
Yeah. Good luck finding all the meth labs.
Yeah, exactly. Just drive to Indiana. You'll find plenty.
Yeah.
All right. So, Joe, you got any other questions? I think I've exhausted my usual ramblings.
Yeah, I don't really have much else. I know we're creeping up on an hour, and Pappy's probably looking at the time like, you motherfuckers better shut up.
Well, I mean, if you guys want to keep talking, you're more than welcome to, but I gotta go angrily take a quiz.
Angrily take a quiz.
I'm serious. I'm just gonna be frowning so goddamn hard.
Grumble, grumble, grumble test. Yeah, I'm not sure. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about with the album or with anything else coming out in the future?
Basically, just we have just with the three projects we got going on with the Travelers, and that'll be coming out this summer. And then I don't have a definitive release on the next Ethereal String album, but it'll be definitely Mitsuda Music all the way. And then the Ori Symphony, which is still to be announced on the release date also. It just really depends on when I get it done. So, but yeah, I'm definitely not wanting to rush a good thing. So, but the
where
Travelers
can people,
is the next big...
Where can people visit you to keep up to date on everything that you're doing?
You can visit me on Facebook. I have my Facebook page. And that has every update. I update it like pretty much every 2 days or 2 or 3 days, depending on what's going on. So, and then I also, they can look at my SoundCloud page. Just look up Josh Barron, Barron. And you can find everything I post. And I pretty much write a lot of stuff. So I actually have probably close to 100 tracks on that list of things. So
damn.
Between originals and arranged works and experiments. So yeah. And then you can also find me on Spotify. So anything new I release will come out on Spotify and you can hear it. So
awesome. I will be sure to include a link to your SoundCloud in the description. So if you're listening to this and you want to hear some more music from Josh, feel free to check the description, hit up the link. Just keep up to date on everything that he's doing and stay tuned for Ori and the Blind Forest, because I am stupidly excited for whenever that's coming out.
Me too.
But yeah, it has been a pleasure chatting with you. Do you have any preferences on any of the songs that get played off of the string orchestra? I figure there's three of us. We can each pick one song, and then we'll toss in your two Travelers tracks, and people will have a nice chunk of music to listen to.
Sure. I guess mine would be like... it's kind of hard to narrow it down.
This is like a Sophie's choice for you, right?
Pappy, do you have one?
Child. Let me make it easier for you. Let's just do the Halo 2 Honor, Sacrifice, Glory variations.
Nice.
Okay. I think mine would be Ancient Stones from Skyrim.
Sounds good. And I guess I will go with, go figure, Final Fantasy 13 Fang's theme.
There we go.
Number one.
Yeah, I was.
I trying... hate this game, but the music.
It's a great arrangement of it too. I was trying to mentally flip a coin between that and the Metal Gear Solid 2.
But... Oh yeah, we actually for that Metal Gear track we took all the cello, we took the celli and then we like hit on them to make that and actually Andrew improvised that part. So that's actually 100% him banging on those instruments. So,
well, if people want to hear they'll have to pick up the album. Where is the album available? Is it available iTunes?
It's on iTunes and Louder. So louder.fm. So,
all right. So people check that out.
I'll definitely send you the links.
Awesome. Yeah, I will include as many links as I can in the write up because. This is all we're doing with this episode, so you get the whole description to yourself on this one.
Pretty much makes you special and unique.
Oh, cool.
You are a unique butterfly.
Thank you.
It was great having you on, though. I definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll have to do it again when I release the next one.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we are always looking to have people on to bullshit with us, and... We figure since you are a guest, we will let you have the final word on this episode. So do you have any final words for our listeners? And this is usually the point where our guest finds some way to insult us at the end. So the floor is yours. Really? Give us a final word for our listeners.
Just thank you for listening and supporting my work. And, I definitely, with your support, I can do a lot more. I'm planning on doing a Vagrant Story Symphony album if I can get enough funding, and that'll be actually the whole shebang, strings, winds, and everything.
Oh, damn.
So that's like, it's like my dream project. So if I can get enough support from you guys and everybody listening, we can totally do that. And a tour would be nice. So if anybody important's listening, pick us up. We'd definitely love the invitation to do a tour. So, I'm not very good at insulting people, so I'm nice. I guess.
We'll make up for it in next week's show.
I'll do the insult because you said if someone important was listening to our show, and I could tell you a fact, nobody important ever listens to us.
Thank you.